This is a replay of the Tuesday night, May 30th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and you can interrupt the show as the mood might strike you. 888-876-5593. 8888-Raleigh. So, saw this article about the drop in sales of Bud Light and about how the distributors were all under pressure and how the drivers were being flipped the bird and called, homophobic names, to be kind. And I'm thinking, okay, I missed something. And you've probably heard all about this, but apparently Anheuser-Busch thought it was a good idea to partner with a transgender activist, a guy who's big on TikTok, girl who's big on TikTok now, Dylan Mulvaney. And apparently this hasn't worked out to Anheuser-Busch's benefit. And as I was reading about this and the backlash, the first thing is I felt terribly sorry for the distributors, who are usually local businessmen and women who have absolutely no say over how a product is marketed. And then I thought, who the heck at Anheuser-Busch thought this was a good idea? And, you know, often we talk about commercials, it's especially true with things like even the Super Bowl ads, that they'll have these great memorable ads. Of course, you forget what the product is. And that, to me, is the kiss of death. How many commercials can you name where you remember the slug lines or the setting or whatever, but you forget the product? Well, the only thing worse than that is to put together a campaign that basically annihilates your target audience. You know, this is the one that, for the life of me, I don't understand. And that's precisely what happened. And so Anheuser-Busch came up with 365 days of girlhood celebration because Mulvaney recently reached that milestone in her transition. All right, I don't know who Dylan Mulvaney is, and I don't much care about her transition one way or another, but I know what Bud Light is, and I know who the average consumer is who's drinking that stuff. All right, this is not, by the way, as you probably know, the Cadillac of beers. And I don't even drink beer, and I know that. All right, and so it is now that it has just been a disaster for distributor sales. In some places down 35%, nationwide down 25% overall. And drivers, like I say, who are encountering everything from other drivers flipping them the bird to when they were delivering, people running their shopping carts into them and all that, they're mad as hell. And one Kansas distributor said 30% fall in sales since that commercial started and the boycott grew. And of course, the distributors are pretty much upset because the consumer doesn't understand the role of the distributor, and that in fact they have absolutely nothing to do with the marketing. But then again, the end user doesn't care at all. They're just not drinking the product. And so Sales earlier this month were down 25% compared to a year ago overall. And what's interesting is you have individuals in the corporate landscape saying, well, it was a good idea we did that. How? So I don't get it. And maybe you do. But the last time I checked, when you're, in fact, crafting commercials, you have only one goal in mind. Only one thing matters. Are you moving the product? And more than anything else, can everybody remember the name? And then after that, after you've got the name implanted in the listener or viewer's mind, the next thing is to put them in a light that they'll want to, in fact, have the product. Yeah. I'll say one thing. The name Bud Light is well known for this. They didn't fail on that aspect, but maybe you've got some insight on that. But I looked at that and just my head spun around. And again, not a comment on the social significance of this in any way, shape, or form. That's for another venue. But from strictly a marketing perspective, who thought of that? All right, so that was my first thing, and actually, the subtext of that just dovetails into the obit on George Maharis, rest in peace. Now, as far as I'm concerned, Route 66 was George Maharis and Milner, Martin Milner. After that, forget it. So to me, Buzz Murdoch was absolutely a part of that. He was in 82 episodes, and he left during the third season. Now, I did not realize, and woe be me, I did not realize he was still alive until just last week. Died, 94 years old. Because I got to admit, if you had asked me last week, when did George Maharis die, I probably would have said, I don't know, 1970? Yeah, because he's been out of the limelight quite a while. He did a really good job, by the way, on one of my favorite plays, The Zoo Story by Edward Albee, as far as that goes. If you haven't seen it, it's a one-act, one-person play, and it's just terrific. But anyway, two people in a way. All right, so the deal, though, is, as the obits, some of them actually got into this, why did George Maharis leave? And as I say, as far as I'm concerned, it lessened the show dramatically. Yeah, I love this guy on it. Now, what Maharis had said at the time is that he had health problems, including Hep C, and he had to protect his future. And he said, if I keep going at the current pace, I'm a fool. Even if you have $4 million in the bank, you can't buy another liver. Well, maybe you can. I don't know. But so he bowed out, and his reason was absolutely supposedly health reasons. Now, Sterling Siliphant, who producer of the show, and Leonard disputed that. And they say, oh, no, he broke his contract to make movies. Well, the reality is much darker than that. And we were talking about this kind of stuff last night with regard to how unglued CBS was when they discovered about Bob Crane's other life while he was doing Hogan's Heroes, and they were scared to death that the other shoe was going to drop on that. But in this case, supposedly, the producers recognized that Maharis was gay, and they felt betrayed and duped when they learned about this. They never trusted him after that. They thought that He we were promoting a virile image, and he betrayed that, and he's got to go. Now, of course, if this were just maybe even a few years later, that wouldn't have happened. But I looked at that, and I said, I don't doubt that for a moment. And, of course, Maharis did go on to a career not quite as visible. He recorded some stuff for Epic. Teach Me Tonight was a quasi-hit, and I won't play it. If you've heard it, you know why. I might play Don't Fence Me In. I don't know. We'll see. But he did try that, and he did a lot of stock and a lot of other things. And the thing is, 94 years old. And by the way, he did painting and other things too. I mean, it was an art-filled career, if you will, but not as much a public one. He did do a string of films right after right after Route 66. I guess the one that most people would remember is The Happening. But he did other things in some television stuff. And he was in Playgirl. I think that was, God, I think that was 50 years ago right now. He was in Playgirl. And that was right in their first or second issue, right at the beginning of their run. And he did a lot of guest star stuff and all that. But he also, got into painting and was still doing that as recent as a decade ago in New York and Beverly Hills. But, of course, the producers, who were homophobic in themselves, certainly were proven right, if you will, when he made headlines in 67, arrested for lewd conduct, and again in 1974, arrested for, quote-unquote, you'll love this, sex perversion, using men's bathrooms as venues to cruise for sex. So, if that happened while Route 66 was going, I don't know. But, I tell you, dropping him was probably resulted in much more of a hit than even that. So, 94 years old. Amazing. And he has a brother, and I assume it's a younger brother, who was location manager, who's still alive. I had no idea. So anyway, rest in peace, George Maharis. So there you have that. So those were a couple things on my mind. I've got a number of other things, too. And Elizabeth Holmes reported to jail. Well, prison, but even prison or jail or whatever is not really describing this very well. You've heard of federal prisons that are minimum security being called Club Fed. Well, she's in one, and we might get to that too. But your call's warranted, 888-876-5593. We're going to kick it off with James in Oregon, and we'll hopefully hear from you too on WGN Radio. But before we do, I got something to talk about, because Adam had told me that I haven't mentioned the CC Wi-Fi 3 lately, and I want to do that because it's the internet radio that's sitting right in front of John. In fact, he's listening to the show as he screens your calls on one. The audio is really good on this. Well, certainly better than any smartphone in the world, but the ease of use is really what makes it. I know a lot of people don't have Wi-Fi radio because they think, oh, man, this is too complicated, complex, and all that. No. Of course, you can read the manual, but you won't even have to. And the beauty of this is that whatever it is you want to hear, you can hear it on a Wi-Fi radio, because virtually all the radio stations you would listen to stream, including WGN, and a lot of things that are really delightful audio that aren't on terrestrial radio stations are there too. It's got over 30,000 radio stations from the world, and of course the United States, and like I say, hundreds of thousands of other things that you'll be amazed what's in it. And the best part of all, you don't sign up for an app. There's no ads on the screen. There's no monthly fee. There's no microphone. It's not spying on you. It's got a full-size remote control that's easy to use, and it's got great reception. And you're saying, wait a minute, it's not a radio. How can it have great reception? Ah, well, Wi-Fi radio works on your wireless access point. And as you know, if you've got one, that wireless access point connects, for better or worse, with your wireless devices. Well, part of that can be the fault of the device, but part of that can also be the fault of the strength of the wireless access point. Well, whichever, the deal with the CC Wi-Fi 3 is, if you got a wireless access point anywhere in the vicinity, it's going to pick it up. It's got great reception, and you'll pick this up in a much greater distance from the router than you will with other things in your home. So they've got you covered there too. You can go to ccradio.com anytime. CCradio.com and take a look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. We swear by it. You can also order by phone if you can't go online, but if you're looking for a Wi-Fi radio, I assume you can go online, ccradio.com. But if you want to talk to them, great customer service at 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. And sure, you can go to Amazon for quicker shipping or something like that, but for the real deal experience and a lot of information as well as great products, it's ccradio.com. Look at the CC Wi-Fi 3, and while you're at ccradio.com, sign up for their newsletter and be the first to know about exclusive offers only from the Sea Crane Company. Tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. Thank you.
That's right, you'll find him out.
It didn't chart, but WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Young Holt Unlimited. Baby, your light is out. Yeah, I know. Most people mentioning the fact that sadly Red Holt died are playing Soulful Strut. Not me. Maybe your light is out. We'll get some other things too. Whack whack. I don't know. Maybe more. And sadly, that's the news. As you probably heard, the drummer for Ramsey Lewis Trio, Red Holt, of course, half of Young Holt Unlimited, and born in Mississippi, grew up in Chicago. And L.D. Young was at Crane High, where Red Holt was attending, and they got together. And in fact, he and Young left the Lewis Trio to form Young Holt Unlimited with Don Walker in 1966. And they were around until 74. And, of course, Red Holt was around long after that. Started an artist workshop in the 80s and performed through the 90s and performed at the East Bank Club really through just probably about 5 years ago. Died last week, 91 years old, in Chicago. And, yeah, Ramsey Lewis died less than a year ago, as you probably know, so 87. And L.D. Young... Ooh, he was young. 71 years old, died in February of 2007. So rest in peace, Red Holt. A good excuse to play some more Young Holt that they won't be airing on most of the obituary. All right, so 888-876-5593. James in Oregon, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, good evening. Hey, I'm just wondering, do you think the CEO of Anheuser-Busch is wishing he stuck with the Clydesdales?
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, you know, again, I don't understand how you lose sight when it comes to marketing of who your target audience is and what your product is. It doesn't have to be artsy. It's pretty darn basic. You know, I write a ton of commercials for the radio stations. I own a small market. And, you know, never does it occur to me to make a statement. I'm trying to get the product known and the benefits for the group that would be most likely to buy it known. So who came up with this? And I'd love to know.
I don't know. Well, I heard that the lady that I think was, I don't know if she was over product development or something like that, but she got a leave of absence.
I would hope so.
I think that's on the way out, you know.
I would hope so. And again, it has nothing to do with the trans movement and nothing to do with Dylan, the spokesperson they chose, and everything to do with it. It's a train wreck for the product they're selling.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was never a big drinker anyways, but I never cared for Bud. When I lived out west in California, if I drank any beer, it was usually Coors. And in Ohio, I drank Stroh's because... Yeah. You couldn't get Coors back at that time in Ohio. You couldn't get Stroh's out west.
Well, true enough. Know. But then, of course, in Cincinnati, there was Utipol. It's Happy Hutie time.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, sorry about George Maharis passing away. I didn't realize he was still around. I mean, he lived a long time.
That's what I say. 94 years old, and I swear to God, I thought he died like 1970.
Yeah, well, Martin Miller, he did, didn't he? He was part of that team.
He lived a lot longer. He learned a lot longer than that. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. We have Diane in Chicago. Don't go away, Diane. We'll talk to you, too, and there's a line available for you. But right now, I got to find out what's going on in the world at large. We'll do that from the WGN Radio Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Thank you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, Young Holt Unlimited. That was the first chart record they had. Whack Whack, 1966 on Brunswick. Got the number 40 on the R&B charts. So we're talking to James from Oregon about Bud Light and other subjects. So back to you, James. Sorry.
Hey, that's all right. Hey, yeah, I was talking about the old Bud, but I was a little bit about Route 66.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I wonder how many young guys out here remember dreaming about owning a Corvette and with their buddy and driving all over the USA and having a good time, you know.
Oh, yeah. And Martin Milner, by the way, made it till 2015. So he was, for a while. He was actually a kind of a talk show host in San Diego toward his latter career. So
he
got around, but the chemistry though was really good, and I think that Siliphant missed the mark, and I do believe that it was more his pressure than Maharis's health, regardless of how it was said. But you know, I wasn't there.
Yeah, but I just know my one buddy. We were always dreaming this is what we were going to do when we got out of high school. And we knew we couldn't afford a Corvette, but we were looking at a Corvair, you know.
Oh, God. Unsafe at any speed. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, the thing that bothered me about Route 66 is that, you know, we joked that people in L.A. in the entertainment business, they knew two places, you know, New York and L.A., and everything else was flyover country. And that really was true, because they set Route 66. The first one was like someplace like Garth, Mississippi. I mean, it's like, wait a minute, what road are you on? So they didn't feel any need whatsoever to, the Russian Hill District of Cleveland, you know, never mind Route 66.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I came across a guy singing on the radio the other day on a record, but a guy named James McMurphy. Have you heard of him?
I don't know.
He sounds familiar,
but I don't know.
Yeah.
Is this guy like a folk guy?
I'm going to say that's what I called up on my Echo thing, and he said he's like a folk rock type thing, but it's kind of, I would say, like protest type song. One of the songs he did, I heard it on my radio thing here, is Can't Make It Here Anymore.
Okay.
And it's about how we don't make stuff here anymore. And things like that. And then he did one called Lights of Cheyenne.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have heard that, yes.
Okay, yes. And then he did one called, it's Choctaw Bingo. But when they tell you the thing, it says it's explicit. So I guess there's some rough language in there.
Yeah.
But he says it's about the North Texas, Southern Oklahoma, crystal meth, amphetamine industry.
Interesting. Well,
and how Shine doesn't sell anymore, but you know, that's why they want the crystal meth.
Huh. All right. Yeah.
But I was wondering if maybe like Lights of Cheyenne or something like that.
No. Maybe. I know Lights of Cheyenne. I don't know. I'll think about it. But yeah, it's McMurtry.
That's a stretch.
Yeah, it is a stretch. But James McMurtry, M-U-R-T-R-Y. Yeah. I think we actually play Lights of Cheyenne on one of my FMs. But anyhow, I will consider it. I'll take it under advisement.
Okay, there you go.
Thanks for calling. All right,
well,
I appreciate it.
Take some more calls.
Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. I'll get another Young Holt Unlimited in there for sure. That will do. And I promised last night I would play some Whispers on Dory, so you know I'm going to do that. Diane in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I just heard from you, you know, that he died.
Yeah.
He was, in the paper tomorrow. But anyway, my older sister was, he was perfect in her eyes every Friday night, whatever time it's 6:30, 7 p.m. when the show came on.
Yeah.
And she had, you know, good taste in TV shows and everything. I mean, you know, there was a show called East Side, West Side with George C. Scott. And, in other words, but she saw in that show, unlike the previous caller who mentioned that two guys going out, you know, with riding around and having a good time, this was rather a serious kind of each theme
Well, it was.
They would have jobs, you know, in each town, yeah. It was deep. In other words, if you want to quote, use a cliche word, the script and everything, and so, not every. It was sometimes a little too much like that, you know.
Well,
but
there were a lot of
writings. But I was going to say that she gathered up all these magazines with the clippings, photoplay, and everything.
Yeah.
And he lived in Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
And he was rather bohemian. He was a health-oriented person, so I'm surprised to hear about the liver thing. Yes, the other thing happened later. You heard about in the it wasn't publicized.
Right.
But anyway, speaking of romance, though, he did have he was. I thought in love with Inger Stevens for a while, and there was it was an artsy kind of show. It was typical of the early 60s. That was that sort of bohemian thing. He used to sleep in his bathtub. That was some of the layout of the pictures and photoplay or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was the artsy kind of guy in Hell's Kitchen, whatever, so yeah. Sort of interesting person and a very, very handsome, and he was her heartthrob.
Wow. All right. Good stuff. But yeah, absolutely. There was no doubt about it. There was social commentary in the show. You could see it in many levels. Of course, here I am saying, get back to the Route. But I had to be the only person who cared that they weren't on Route 66.
Right. And Raleigh, to interrupt, I'm sorry, that got maybe too much here. I was going to say the Nelson Riddle's theme song, if you would play that, it's a very nice theme song. I think it won an award as well.
Yeah.
And I want to say Scotty would have been interested in these old shows too, I remember. And of course, I'm well aware of his demise and my condolences and all that.
All right, Diane.
But anyway.
Thank you.
The song, theme song, is a wonderful one.
You betcha. I'll do it.
Okay,
thanks.
All right, thank you.
So, yeah, you can't talk about Route 66 without playing it. And, and the Nelson Riddle is, of course, the original, and that's what everybody wants to hear. Although Manhattan Transfer, with some lyrics, wasn't bad either, but we'll go with Nelson. Bruce and Elwood, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How you doing tonight?
Oh, I guess okay. I mean, I'm still kind of flummoxed that, I was convinced George Maharis died 50 years ago.
Well, after that show, I finally got myself a Corvette, but I didn't get to travel all over. I had to work to pay for it.
Well, and not only that, it probably didn't run.
No, it ran.
Oh, you were lucky. You got the one that ran. I usually didn't.
Yeah. I had a 67 big block. It ran really good.
A 67 with a 427 in it? Yes, that was a wonderful car.
Yeah. I blew it up, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I sent a rod out the side one night doing a burnout.
But. You know, that's interesting you say that, because in a 75 I affectionately called her the plastic pig. I blew a rod as well, halfway between, Houston and Mobile, and just horrible. So, yes, I know about that.
I did it out in the country, and I had to leave it, and I had to walk like a mile home.
Oh, God.
And I called a tow truck driver, and it was like a Sunday night, and I said, my butt's stuck out there. He said, I got it, and it was late 70s.
And
he said, I'll go out and get it tomorrow. And I said, no, it's a 67 big block. He said, okay, I'll go get it out tonight.
Right, exactly right. Yeah, speaking of cars, I was going to say, I'm really, really upset because my Z28 that's almost 30 years old that I've babied and loved and all that, I had her in for repair in Globe, and they were doing a fine job until I got the phone message today. We're going to have to take it to a body shop. Someone ran into it. I'm like,
No.
I know. And I don't even know what this is. But I said to John, not today. I'll deal with this tomorrow. But there's going to be hell to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this Bud Light thing, this is big out in my area. Big. I mean, this sale is way down. You go to the liquor store and every brand was empty this Memorial Day. Bud Light did not have one package taken out.
Now, here's the interesting thing, because, of course, you can try to look at it from the opposite to say, well, maybe they did it because they wanted that much talk. But if that were the case, like you say, it didn't sell any beer. Who on earth came up with this?
It was a young girl. You could find the videos. See, this has been going on for almost 2 months. They've been 30% down every week since the second week in April.
Right. I know it happened because of March Madness and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Okay, there's a video out there of this young girl, and I can't remember her name. Her last name, nobody can pronounce it. She was like 25 years old, and she was head of marketing for Bud Light. And she was an Ivy Leaguer.
And
she was on this podcast thing, and it's on YouTube, and she was telling them, yeah, she said, first off, she said, the Bud Light is a dying brand, and my job is to build it back up.
No.
Okay. And she says, she called everybody who drinks it. She says, it's way too fratty and low class.
No.
Yeah,
no.
And then she said, I have to develop this marketing, and she said, I've talked to all my friends from college, and think this is a...
Yeah.
I'm kind of paraphrasing it.
I get it. I hope they fired her.
Oh, yeah, she's gone. Her boss is gone. And
good.
Rumor has it that the very president of Anheuser-Busch may be gone.
Well, you know, I don't know enough about the inner workings of the company to know where he would be on this. But, I'm looking at this now that they put Alyssa Heinerscheid.
That's her.
Yeah.
That's her. She's the one that did the whole thing herself.
Well, poor Alyssa, needs to grow up a little. Her job was not to, in fact, change the paradigm, educate the world, or up-level the brand. Her job was to sell Bud Light.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't understand why on earth that isn't made very clear.
I mean, I have a friend who... couple of friends who they run this big fundraiser for a hospice in our area.
Yeah.
And every year they have like two refrigerated trucks of Bud Light on tap.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're even talking about, are they going to switch brands?
Right. Right.
I don't know. Everybody, and like I was talking to some people, if you had a taste for Bud Light and all of a sudden I start drinking Miller Lite, I'm not ever going to go back to Bud Light because I'm going to acquire that taste for, and I don't drink beer, but I would acquire that taste for the new beer.
Well, I can't imagine having a job where, maybe she lost sight of what her job was. It wasn't to change the world, or anything like that. Her job was to sell this brand of beer. So,
okay, I'm going to come out and say it. She's very, like I said, she's a Harvard grad, I think, and she's very woke.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, that's fine, except you don't hire someone like that to market a product. Any product, really. You know.
Anheuser-Busch isn't even owned by... They're out of Belgium.
Well,
They're owned out in Belgium now.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
however this
came down, but her whole thing was, I'm going to change the marketing of Bud because it's a dying brand and it's too fratty.
Well, you're not...
And then later on, there were some videos came up of her at a frat party.
Well, the other side of that is, and I've seen radio stations do this too, where they're, they have a largely, say, a teen audience. I'm going back many years, and they're so thrilled that they're blowing off their teens, but they haven't done anything to cultivate another demo. It's like, wait a minute, that's all you had. So it seems to me if you're, and there are times, by the way, that you will rebrand a product. I don't think it was warranted in Bud Light, and I don't think any of the distributors thought it was warranted either. But there are times that it is warranted. And at that point in time, what you do is, you got no hope at that point, but you try to figure out who is your new target audience. You're not going to preach to the choir here because the choir will shoot you, and in this case, they'll just not buy the product.
They're in worse shape now because it's all Anheuser-Busch products around here.
Well,
and everything, Budweiser.
Well,
and the thing is, now they've backed off a little bit. They come out with these new commercials. You can find them of the Clydesdale running through the country, through the ranches, and saying we're American. So now the other side, the left people, woke people, are saying, you backed off, so we're not going to buy it either.
Right, no, you
absolutely,
right, right. You are putting yourself in a position where you are losing on all sides. And
exactly.
Again,
they lost left and right.
Right. And again, it's not about how you feel about the woke movement or how you feel about transgender. I don't care. We're talking about how you market a product. And this is pretty basic stuff. I wonder what InBev, that's who owns them actually, thinks about this. So
I don't know that you haven't seen much of that, but they're saying that the president of Anheuser-Busch may be on the chopping block too.
Well, Certainly InBev may be looking at that. And I know that a lot of InBev is vulture capitalists from around the world, including there's a hunk of it that's in Brazil. So it's going to be interesting to see, because I'm sure that none of those owners care about anything except how many bottles of beer or cans did they sell.
Exactly.
That's all that matters. So, exactly. I hope this woman never gets a job in marketing again. I'm not saying she shouldn't work in something else, but it surely to God shouldn't be marketing. All right.
If you see that video on her,
I will
look at it.
I will.
Nose up in the air.
Yeah. Well, she's got plenty of time to think about it. Not that it'll do her any good. I want to know who's going to hire her next. Let's watch. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it, Bruce.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Yeah. It's just again, this is not a discussion about anything but basic marketing and how do you screw up that badly. All right. So we'll get to Don in Beloit and Fran's in Austin and Johnny's in Austin. All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio. Charted pop, but not R&B, and nonetheless, Who's Making Love? A fine young Holt. Well, let's see, 45. Yeah, in Brunswick, of course. All right, I was just looking to see. I think we're out of time this hour. Again, we get to Johnny in Austin, whose dad was in Route 66. All right, I want to hear all about that. Don in Beloit, some more Route 66 talk. Fran in Austin. The mystery of advertising. It shouldn't be that mysterious, should it? I guess I'm just wrong. All right, we'll pick it up there on WGN Radio.
Come on and give me life, please let me. You gave my life, oh, you gave it unto me. And that's why it's to you, yes it is, it's to you that I'm clinging. That's why my heart, that's why my heart is singing. Oh, please, come and kiss me, give me life. Let me leave. I want to dedicate
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. we've got 2 hours to spend together and plenty of things to talk about, yeah, including, as Fran says, the mystery of advertising. I do want to get back to that. The mystery of Route 66, and John had mentioned, you know, Sterling Siliphant was on the road with them every episode. He was there in the field. I said, clearly he didn't have a map. Yeah, the first one in Garth, Mississippi, they're lost. That's all there is to it. It was still a great show, don't get me wrong, but it used to drive, at least when Buzz was on it, but it used to just drive me crazy that that it was not even remotely close to Route 66. When it was almost that, you know, it was inadvertent. All right, Johnny and Austin, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, it's good to talk to you.
Well, likewise, how do you feel?
Good.
Excellent. I want you to do me a favor and email me your phone number. I'm going to call you the minute I get off the air.
Okay, great. Anytime. I'll do it.
I feel terrible that I haven't gotten back in touch with you, and I want to. So.
No hurry, no problem. You were talking about Route 66.
Yeah.
And it was the summer of 1963 that the crew came to Houston to do an episode there. The episode was called Cage Around Maria.
Okay.
And it was filmed at the Houston Police Department substation that they had just opened, and they also had another location they filmed this episode. It was terrible. At the Houston Zoo. And my dad at that time was a Houston city councilman.
Yeah.
Same name as me.
Yeah.
Johnny Goen. And somehow he got a speaking part, a small part, in that episode. And about 3 minutes into that episode called A Cage Around Maria,
yeah,
my dad appears as a desk sergeant in a Houston police officer's uniform.
Oh, I'm gonna definitely watch this. Yeah, and it's interesting.
And he did pretty good. He has a speaking part, and they'd taken a lady in custody. I think she was found at the zoo trying to jump off into the bear cage or something. I mean, it was really lame.
Yeah, anyway. Maria Cardenas was the zoo.
Yes. So my dad says, they ask her name, and he says to sign in or something. He said, yes, her name is Cardenas, Maria Cardenas.
Yeah.
And that was his big line in the show.
I'm definitely going to watch this. Now, it's an interesting episode, of course. I think this is after Buzz is long gone, sadly. But it wasn't one that Sterling Siliphant wrote or produced. And I don't even know that he was there. It aired on the Ides of March of 1963.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we were there actually when they recorded it. You know, my dad enjoyed a little bit of fame, and he did also like an audience. So
sure.
The whole family was there to watch all this, and I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, a guy named George Sherman was the producer, and Jesse Sandler was the writer.
Well, it was poorly written.
Well, but I thought it was weird because if you look at the episode guide, it's all for the writing. Sterling Siliphant, and then there's this one episode, Jesse Sandler, and there are a couple others like Joel Carpenter wrote one. But for the most part, it was all Sterling Siliphant, but not that episode.
Well, it was really, really not really a good episode at all, but he used to get royalties off of that.
That's great.
All the time.
That's great. I know because I believe the thing still runs probably on one of the.
Well, yeah, another thing my dad did back in the 50s, I might have told you this before, but Ella Fitzgerald and Dizzy Gillespie and some big jazz artists came to the Houston City Auditorium in the early 50s.
Wow.
And there was Houston, Texas was way behind the times in those years. And the police did some kind of goofy, stupid sting operation.
Oh, no.
And backstage, allegedly, Dizzy Gillespie and some of these artists were doing a dice or something.
Oh, God.
And anyway, so during the concert, the HPD, Houston Police, raided the concert.
Oh, no.
And took Ella Fitzgerald and Dizzy Gillespie and some of these other artists to jail.
Oh, God.
Now, at that time, my dad was known as, he had a position, it was 4 years city councilman, it was, I can't remember off the top of my head what it was, it's not coming to me, it was some Houston public position.
Yeah.
God, it's just not coming to me. But anyway, it was close to city council. Anyway, he found out about this that night and went down to the police headquarters and got Ella Fitzgerald released. And if you look on a search engine and put Ella Fitzgerald, Johnny Goyen, G-O-Y-E-N.
Right, right.
There's a big story about it, says something, the headline is like, on jazz and integration and use.
Right, right. The night Ella Fitzgerald was jailed for singing to an integrated audience in Texas.
And my dad is pictured with her.
Oh, that's great.
It was on the front page of two Houston newspapers back in the, I'm guessing it was 54, 55.
Wow.
And that picture, as a matter of fact, I just bought a copy of it off of, because it's copyrighted.
Right.
I bought a copy just a couple of weeks ago, finally, to have one off of, is that called Superstock?
Yes, yes, I've seen that picture there, yes.
I bought that picture so I would have it.
Yeah, for personal use, because then it's only $25.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that was a big deal, and my father was so outraged that this happened. He was head of what was called the Corporation Court. That's what it was.
Okay.
And I don't know what that position even entailed, but he was head of the Corporation Court, City of Houston. And he went down there, and he's pictured right next to Ella, and he looks really angry. And there's a booking officer there that's behind the desk writing their name down, I suppose. And then there's my dad and some other guy. I don't know if he was the arresting officer or what the heck he was. But anyway, it's a classic photo.
Yeah, yeah. And they say that you can't buy it online. You had to contact them directly.
I did.
Okay,
I did. And I said, I'm Johnny Goins' son, and I'd like a copy of this just for my own personal use.
Right.
And paid him the $25 and was able to go download it and make myself a copy.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Now, what I loved about that, because that was like 1955, when the articles came out about it, they didn't say anything about gambling. They said she was singing to an integrated audience or something. You know, it's like, wait a minute. You know, so.
Oh, really?
Yes,
and
yes.
If you look, there's also some other pictures taken that night besides the one with my dad. There's Ella and I think it's Dizzy Gillespie there, but they're all kind of lined up sitting on a bench. And this, I assume, was while the concert was still going on, because I think all this happened, and when they were let out, they went back to the concert, I'm guessing. And when my dad was alive, I never thought to ask him if he ever talked to Ella again after that. I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's interesting.
Maybe she was just so damn glad to get out of there, she didn't ever want to even think about it again.
Yeah, right. October 7th, 1955. And, yeah, it was Ella and Dizzy and Illinois someone or other was the third person's name.
Yeah, and the other lady.
Yeah. Taken
it was
to
another lady.
Right, taken to a cell on suspicion of illegal gambling. However, as it's quite plain to see, the true motivation behind the arrest was the police department's unwillingness to accept the new laws that allowed black and white people to mix at events. That's the way it was positioned.
I never told you that story.
No. But that's great. That's just great. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to share those two stories with you and mention that I haven't talked to you since the whole Scotty thing happened.
Yeah.
But I was really one of the listeners who just loved hearing him call in. Are you going to be able to lift some of those clips of
yes,
his calls?
Yes, I absolutely will at some point. And I got to find the time to go through some more stuff and get them. And I think that Dennis will call in because he went back to Indiana to check out more facts and he got more information. And Scotty was just a great guy all the way around.
Well, this gentleman, Dennis, really stepped out. Did something really very special.
Well, yeah, yeah.
To have the foresight to go do
right,
that. That's very rare that somebody would do that.
Yeah, Yeah, so it turned out to be in some ways a very sad story, but on the other end, a very happy story, because 100% of everything Dennis found out was good. Scotty just was pure goodness.
It was.
Yeah, pure goodness.
Yeah, I followed that whole saga on your show, and I was just hesitant to call in. I was more interested to just hear all the listeners call and express their feelings about him. But he was a kind-hearted guy with a smooth voice that would just make you melt.
Yeah, I know. We'll miss him. That's for darn sure.
Do me a favor. If you have a chance sometime as a bumper, would you play Gene Chandler's song called You're a Lady? It was kind of a follow-up to Groovy Situation.
Yes, I remember that. Okay, I probably have it on this computer. If I can find it, you got it next.
Okay, and I will send you that email when we get off the phone.
Excellent. Thank you. I'll look forward to it. Okay, bye.
Sure.
All right,
okay,
so 888-876. We'll get to Fran, we'll get to Don, hopefully we'll get to you two on WGN Radio.
People tried to bring you down, but still you're a lady,
still you're a lady,
you're a lady.
And though they sneered at you, I'm told, girl, you're worth your weight in gold, 'cause you're a lady,
you're a lady,
you're a lady.
Now you could walk out all among the best and hold your head.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That was the last single on Mercury for Gene Chandler, 1971. You're a Lady. It did chart on the R&B charts, about number 40 or so, but not on the pop charts. Bubbled under, don't you know, 116 or something. But Gene produced it as well. So, yes, You're a Lady. That's for Johnny Goin. All right, so 888-876-5593. We got Fran and Austin. What's happening, Fran?
Oh, not a whole lot. I was just mainly calling about this whole debacle with the Bud Light thing.
Yeah.
I do not understand, because I've taken some marketing courses and that sort of thing, and you do not alienate, if you're rebranding, you do not alienate the people that you're already selling to or marketing to.
Yeah, your core. You may want to move your core in some direction, but in the process, don't alienate them.
Right. And it's like, okay, you're going to take, just for, you know, coin a phrase, Joe Sixpack is going to embrace this idea of this, you know, trans marketing thing? I don't think so.
Well, I agree.
You know?
See, that's what I don't understand. Now, by the way, I absolutely understand, the motivation to say, all right, well, our sales aren't where we want them. We want to do something to tweak this. You know, I get that. What I can't imagine is if you have somebody under you who comes up with something that is going to annihilate your core. I mean, she answers to somebody who the person she answers didn't say, now, wait a minute, honey.
Exactly. I mean, I can see her maybe pushing this, but I don't get it, but I don't get advertising at all anymore.
Well, I don't know.
Because one of the things, I was mentioning it to John a little bit, I said, they have these ads, and you don't know what the product is.
Well, that's my big thing. I always and, say, if you don't know the product, the ad fails.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't know the product, the ad fails. Nothing else matters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back when I used to listen to, I mean, you'd hear the name of the product 20 million times before they, you know, you knew the product, you know. And, I mean, I hate that Cars for Kids ads, but, hey, at least you know what it is. They say it a million times.
And you can spell it.
But, yeah, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids.
You're right.
But...
Right.
But these ads, I was watching TV with my mom a while back, or, you know, several years ago, and we were watching this ad, and I said, Mom, what's that for? Because they just played a song and some little funny sounds or something. And she said, I don't know. And she's looking at it. And I thought it was just me.
Right.
I thought, well, they're showing something on the screen that says the name of whatever it is they're trying to sell. They're showing something. But she didn't know. You know, so how are they getting... how does that work? I don't get it.
You know, I don't either. And part of it is that I know that these guys going for the awards and all that want things to be hip and, you know, creative and all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is you cannot lose sight of why a sponsor is paying money. It's to get his product known and hopefully tried. You know, you're not worried about the people who are already eating the product all the time or drinking the product or using the product. You're worried about the ones you want to get to use the product. And if in the process you accidentally completely annihilate all the people already using it, you have lost.
Yeah, I just don't understand what in what universe that's a good idea. it makes no sense to me whatsoever. But, you know, more and more things don't make any sense to me.
You know, I, again, a young girl who just graduated from college and is all woke as hell, I'm not 100%, yeah. I'm not 100% surprised she came up with it. I'm 1,000% surprised that anybody above her said, oh, sure, sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. Yeah, I could see that.
yeah.
I could see her doing that, but yeah. Somebody's got to be.
Yeah, that's the person who should be fired.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, she too. Yeah. While we're at it, but I mean, she's not the real horror of this story. It's the guy who obviously signed on for it. Say, oh yeah, that sounds good, dear. No.
I don't know, you know, was she sleeping with somebody or what?
Yeah, well, oh God, well, I've seen her. I don't know. All right, well, who said that? Yes, I'm going to find out what's going on in the world at large in the news right now and talk to you soon, Fran. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so what is going on in the world? We'll find out on WGN Radio.
Come on and give me life, please, let me. You gave my life, oh, you gave it unto me. And that's why it's to you, yes it is, it's to you that I'm clinging. That's why my heart, that's why my heart is singing. Oh, please, come on and kiss me, give me life. Let me leave. I wanna dedicate my life to you. Yes, I do. I wanna be by your side my whole life through. And I'd like to give to you all the things that you crave. I wanna work for you, baby, for the rest.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and there it is, the Whispers on Dory. Yeah, that's the one that just blew me away. Yeah, I was born when you kissed me. I just knew I was going to love them, and everything else they did proved me right on all those wonderful Dory sides. By the way, that reminds me, I didn't last night get to list all of the bumpers and what I played, since I seem to be confused about that myself. So it's all on Rolly.net, R-O-L-L-Y-E.net. You can see them all. All right, so 888-876-5593. Don and Beloit, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Rolly. Hey, good night. Good evening. How you doing?
I'm here. How about yourself?
I am doing great, and boy, what a great family. I mean, you just have such a great family of stories and people listening to you.
Yeah, and you're one of them.
It's great. Yeah. Well, Dennis, you know, my hats off. Everybody, just hats off to Dennis for following and tracking down that part two of the Scotty story and family and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, It doesn't surprise me that you love Edward Albee, too. Like, oh, my God, the zoo story.
The zoo story is the best, the absolute best. I remember 1960 when I first read it. I was like, this is like the best play I've ever read. Yeah.
Isolation, loneliness, you know, dehumanization. I mean, why am I not surprised that you love that?
Every now and then I'll be walking around and someone will say, well, how are you? And I've been to the zoo. And, of course, they don't understand what I'm saying at all.
Right.
So,
right. And, of course, in his own circle, he couldn't get it produced here. So he had to go to West Berlin a year later to get it shown publicly with a Samuel Beckett play in West Berlin a year later.
Yeah, he wrote it in 3 weeks in, like, 1958. And I just remember I first read it in 1960 and said, oh, man, this is just the best.
Yeah. So, well, I really appreciate, as I'm sure everybody else, about you informing us about the Randy Lewis Trio stuff and Red Holt.
Yeah, a good life, 91 years old, but, you know, so sad now they're all gone.
Was that Whack Whack that you played maybe like an hour ago?
Yeah, Whack Whack, first thing they charted with on Brunswick.
Okay.
And you know what was interesting?
Did you play the in crowd? You were almost saying the in crowd
No, I didn't play the in crowd. Because, you know, I didn't play the stuff that you were going to hear on all the Obit things. So I stay away from that. But it was interesting because when they charted, they did much better on the pop charts than they did on the R&B charts.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting because I thought their stuff was, you know, really nice and kind of jazzy and that'd be just perfect for R&B. But, you know, I guess more stations were using it as this will take us up to news. So, you know, that was the deal.
Well, the point I would make to people would be like Chess Records just had such great stuff. I mean, they just had so many great bands. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I, too, have a 1963, like, favorite, you know, like, there's so many great things. My parents, you know, they didn't put up with, like, Hazel or stupid TV. You know, they wanted something that had drama and made you think. And that's why, like everybody else, people loved watching Route 66 because it was different. It just really made you think, you know.
Yeah.
But a certain episode had... epidemic, deadly virus, like what? You know, Alan Alda is playing the town doctor in like this Missouri town, angry mob of people mad about a virus. I mean, holy cow, this was May 23rd, 1963. I had to look up this episode that I remember. But that was like an episode that, like, these guys were always reinventing a new storyline that, you know, the Corvette was something that me and everybody else watched, but you know, these guys and their dramas it was just a really different show.
It was great. And like I say, the chemistry when Maharis was there was just unbeatable.
Yeah.
I don't think they came close to that after that.
Yeah.
But I do wish they had a roadmap. I mean, you know, that just drove me crazy.
Well, there was one. Like, there was like a board game that went with the show, I think, that had a map on it, I'm sorry, I'm throwing into my some memory, but I think there was something like that. There was a map that went with the show. Sorry, but someone else might remember.
You know, if you ever had taken a look at these places, the ones that existed on, because some of them didn't, but the ones that existed on a map, they were not within hundreds of miles of Route 66.
True.
Yeah, I thought there's enough. On Route 66. They could have stuck to it, but.
Right. I don't know if that was because of, like, filming during wintertime
I think they
used a lot of southern locations, actually.
Well, yes, and some West Coast stuff, too, like things in Oregon. And I always thought, are they going the long way? You know, I couldn't figure it out.
Right. Plus, it was an hour-long show, whereas a lot of things were just slapped together, like half-hour shows.
Yeah. And, of course, you can still see it. I'm sure the reruns are still running. I don't know if it's on Antenna TV, but it's somewhere right now.
Right. Were you jumping around with Leaving Cheyenne and, like, James McMurtry to Larry McMurtry? Were you you said something under your breath about that.
No, not really. But
That's great. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Larry McMurtry, and, of course, his son's a somewhat famous songwriter.
Yes, well, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I was going to mention that, you know, beer has always been somewhat political. I mean, hometown beer versus other hometown beer. I mean, people were always, you know, defensive. You know,
Chicago
versus Milwaukee was like a huge, huge fight over beer always, you know.
And there were so many local beers, you know, like I mentioned, Hudepohl in Cincinnati, or, you know, stores in Nebraska and all of that. Gastro's, of course, you know, Hams. Some of these were more regional, but there were so many of those, you know, rather than just national brands. You're right. And people would swear and argue about it. You betcha.
Don from Beloit grew up in Buffalo, Niagara Falls area. I grew up on Genesee beer, you know.
Right.
And New England's like this old family tradition that's really getting a lot more headlines with everything that's been going on. This family-owned thing out of Pennsylvania, they're doing really, really well.
Yeah, Yuengling beer, of course. But yeah, Genesee, I think that was Rochester base.
It's around Rochester, exactly. Yeah. That's absolutely right. Yeah.
But sure, those locals, and none of them would make this kind of an error, you know, advertising.
Right. Well, supposedly in Nashville, there's bars on the strip in Nashville that haven't even touched any cases of Bud Light in all this time, according to some radio interviews of people that run those bars and stuff. I mean, it's really taken hold, and that boycott's not going anywhere right now.
Yeah. And, you know, like I say, when you have this much notoriety and publicity, you try to look for that silver lining to say, okay, well, how can we turn some of this in our favor? And the answer in this case is you can't.
Well, a lot of people don't want to lose face and admit that they did a dumb mistake publicly. I mean, that's what everybody's telling them they should do, but they are stubborn. They don't want to do it. I mean,
that's interesting.
Journals, these podcasters, they've never had so much publicity in their lives because people are paying attention to all these beer journals now for the first time.
You're right. And they should find some way to make lemonade out of lemons because they're never going to be talked this much about in the future. I mean, this is their moment. And near as I can tell, it is all bad.
Yeah, it was sweet talking to you. Thank you so much for taking my call.
I'm glad you did. Talk to you soon. Okay, bye. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Eduardo in Tampa Bay coming up right here. And there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
Sit here.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Interrupt the show as the mood might strike you. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. Eduardo is in Tampa. So what's happening tonight?
Hey, Raleigh. Well, I was going to call up about older people homelessness, particularly Phoenix and from Portland to Alaska. But I did get my mailbox. Remember that?
You did. No, I remember exactly. Yeah. So how's it look?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, like an ordinary one. So obviously the seller had gone over there, so he put it up later in the day. So that was nice.
Well, good, good. So, is the house number printed on the mailbox?
No, I mean, it's got the name inside, but I made sure that I have my name and mom's name on there. I also got a confirmation from the post office that mail was being forwarded because I had one previously. And then I went to the post office here in Tampa. And then I made a phone call to Chicago post office. And they looked in their system and they said, yeah, mail's going to be forwarded to the Tampa address. So I was kind of like following up, not just here in Tampa, but also in Chicago.
All right. So the mail's taken care of, and things are falling into place. How's mom liking it?
Yeah, she's getting acquainted here.
Right, she's acclimating.
She's got something about the way things should look like here. So
okay.
We put an order for a washer. I had to take a photo and measurements because we had something from Home Depot, and that was not going to be able to fit, but this one should because I did measurement.
Okay.
And so we got something we placed an order from Lowe's today. So it'll be coming in on Friday.
All right.
And then, I don't know, the signing, you know, it might happen towards the end of the week. We'll see.
Good.
So... yeah, but so far, things okay. I mean, I played some volleyball with some people today just to get, you know, acquainted with people down here, you know, how they are. And it was nice. Some parents they had their young ones playing volleyball. Everybody's playing it, like, after, I guess, when the sun's not beating so hard. So I guess we started playing after 5:30. I was there for a while. It's not too far away from the house, so... it was nice. People were friendly, so it was nice to get a workout.
Well, good. So everything is going well.
Yeah. So things are. And
what's the biggest surprise? What?
Also, because I'm looking for new work, so.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully, it'll work out.
What are you applying to do?
I'm hoping to get into a hospital, so I applied to one of the biggest hospitals here, Tampa General. So
okay.
Hopefully,
well, God knows they need workers. What would you do?
Well, I'd apply for an administrative assistant to case managers. So that was one of the positions I applied to. So
okay.
So maybe I'll hear something from them.
Well, good, good. No, it sounds good. So what I was asking is, what's the biggest surprise you've had so far?
Here?
Yeah. There.
Well, I would say the fact that you could take, like, any road, like, driving, and they, like, from my area, I could take any road, and it'd be near downtown. You don't have to take, like, one major street to get to downtown. You can take, like, any street, and it'll pretty much leave you, like, near downtown. I like that.
Okay.
That's been a surprise to me, yeah. I didn't know that, but I like the fact that you can take any street, and you can be close to downtown, which is pretty good.
Yeah. All right, so central location. Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, carry on. I can't wait to hear about job search 2023. So other than the hospital, where have you applied?
Uh,
sister, usually I'm checking out this one site, Indeed.com. They have different positions there. So,
all right.
We'll see where else we wind up. I don't want to wind up. I mean, I know hotels also have work too, but I know I heard one of them tell me, "Oh yeah, they need somebody from 3 to 11." I'm not surprised because nobody wants to be out at late at night. I guess.
I don't know. Those hours sound good to me. Great to me.
Well, and if you speak Spanish, which I do, I mean, that's something interesting too. But yeah, yes. But we'll see. I mean, I prefer sticking with healthcare because I was in healthcare and I work for one of the major insurance companies here.
I think you'll have no problems.
Insurance carriers.
Yeah. I really think you'll have no problems because there are so many openings now in healthcare. And to find somebody who has experience and is bilingual, they should be thanking their lucky stars you applied. Keep me posted.
Yeah. So quickly on this senior thing, I wanted to get your take on it. They had an article here in the Tampa Times here.
Okay, hang on a minute. Don't go away.
Seniors. Okay.
Stay where you are. We'll pick it up right there. We'll talk about seniors. We'll talk about Coors Beer with Elizabeth. We'll talk about James's stories, all 500 of them, coming up on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that'll be our last Whispers record for the night. And originally, there was a version on Dory. That wasn't it. That was the flip side on Soul Clock. And then there was a version on Janice. The Dory version, by far, is the best version. But technically, it's just trashed. Not good. And I've heard some resurrected tracks with it, people trying to work with it. But the bottom line, it was easier just to play the Soul Clock version. So 888-876-5593. Back to Eduardo and the plight of the homeless senior in Tampa Bay.
Well, not necessarily. I was more like I saw an article in the Tampa Times that they were featuring Phoenix. But it's also like from Alaska to Portland, Oregon. And I was just wondering, what about this? And I think this might have been spiking over COVID, too. But what about like sons and daughters reaching out to their father and mother or even... There's probably not a lot of social interaction with these people. They don't have a lot of friends that they could have been helped.
Well, you've got a number of factors here. And the first one is, by the way, and it's so underreported, and that's that since 2008, interest rates have just been trashed. And for seniors who were calculating their retirement based upon getting Social Security and having some form of savings that they would invest and get the proceeds, there were no proceeds. The interest rates were just giving them virtually nothing. So at the same time, they're getting nothing in interest. They're living on principal till they run out of principal. And, of course, we have runaway inflation. And so you couple that together, and it is economic hell for many, many seniors. And it's tremendously unreported. And from the last 5 years alone, probably the unhoused, if you will, senior, that percentage just exponentially increased. Now, you talk about families. What's interesting now is that you're seeing a lot of young people, 20s and 30s, living with their parents. But as far as people in that group being able to take care of elderly parents, well, they're squeezed to the max as well. So it's not as simple. So what do you do? The kids are at home. You're not making much money anyway. The kids are adults, of course. And here's mom and dad. You know, buck's got to stop somewhere.
Yeah, and I heard that COVID money wasn't all like, you know, spent. And I'm wondering if that might have helped.
You can't do that legally. You can't have the government appropriate money for a cause and then change the use. That would require probably an act of Congress. So it's not as simple as, well, we haven't used all that money, so we'll just give it to them. It doesn't work like that. It is alarming what's going on with seniors because, of course, that number is increasing and increasing. And, you know, the idea that the kids can take care of them, well, very often the kids are in trouble. And as I say, we know the kids are really, unfortunately, a bad situation. And that's a whole other societal discussion, to say the least. But when you look at what happened with home prices, even apart from what I was saying about the lousy interest rates, home prices, because of low interest rates, have just skyrocketed. And of course, when that happens, rent goes with it. And so you're seeing people who have been priced out of anything that they were used to dealing with. Also, with the utterly amazing increases in home prices, you're seeing the gentrification of a lot of neighborhoods that heretofore would have been a place where they might have found something affordable. Now that stuff is being torn down and people are building other things that are more expensive. So you're seeing a huge, absolutely huge source of that. But you mentioned Phoenix. Well, they've taken one hotel downtown, which they've converted to a shelter for homeless seniors.
Right, that came in the story, yeah.
Yeah, the Haven. You are seeing things like that. But anybody who thinks that this is a good economy has their head in the absolute sand. And if you have a fixed income as a senior, you're on the losing end of the stick. You know, let's say you're getting $1,600 a month for your Social Security, which is probably average for these folks. You're not going to be able to afford rent and food on that.
Yeah.
So
that's why they're hitting the food pantries.
Well, yes. And I mean, God knows I don't have the answer, and this is for minds greater than me. But I will say that to deny there's a problem, or for all these people who say, oh, inflation isn't too bad or whatever, you know, who have political bents for why they're making their statements. No, I'm sorry. This is an absolute complete mess.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I'm taking care of my mother, so...
Well, yes, and you're in a position where you can do that.
Yeah.
But if you had two kids at home who were... And maybe an ex-wife who you were paying money to and all that, things would get awfully thin awfully quick.
Yeah, they sure would.
Right. And so that's one of the problems. I'm not saying that that kids shouldn't care for parents. God knows I did. My adopted mom lived a life that most people would envy. And a couple times I wound up really in trouble financially in order to do it, but I did it. But if I had had kids at the same time, I couldn't have.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't have the answer, but I'm just surprised that there aren't more people. I think one of the things that has stopped a meltdown is the still relatively easy availability of credit. You know, if Fantastic Plastic went away or suddenly everybody was completely maxed out, you'd see a very different story when people go to the gas station and pay $100 to fill up their car.
Yeah.
So, like I say, probably a complete other venue and my, greater minds than mine, but I absolutely see this as a huge problem.
Yeah, so. Hopefully there'll be better stories on that coming down.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't see anything that tells me it's going to change. But we'll see. You know, and I think, to an extent you can say, all right, well, we need more programs or we need more services or we need more money, but that's a Band-Aid. We need to fix the problem.
Yeah, we sure did.
Yeah.
I'm glad I saw that. I wanted to bring light to that story. So thank you for commenting on that.
It is. Yeah. And this has been going on now literally for a decade. It's slowly been increasing because when you're on a fixed income and you got no interest, you got no money. So what are you doing? You're spending all your principal. It's not too long before you have nothing.
Yeah, so, and then sometimes your 401k or IRA, whatever, gets wiped out.
Well, you're having to spend the principal. And, of course, yes, if you invest in it, depending, you know, if you did that before 2008 might have been what wiped you. You know, when you're above a certain age, you really want to stay away from anything that's going to be a risky investment. And if you stay away from risky investments at this point, you stay away from good interest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, somebody else will have the answer, and it won't be me.
Okay, Raleigh.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah, all right, have a good evening.
Yeah, I wish I did have it. But, you know, one thing I will note is that I mentioned it several times, the biggest change in society other than the discovery and the invention of the wheel, if you will, was the discovery and invention of digital. And we've been leading up to digital since the start of the Industrial Revolution. And right now, we're really starting to see it come to fruition. We're still not where we will be. But what's interesting about that is it upsets the landscape tremendously. For one thing, we now have more people available to work than there is work for them to do. On the other hand, you also have people who are not working, and that's by choice, and that's another issue. But the economic systems that we have, and I'm not saying capitalism's bad or socialism's bad or whatever, all of them, you name it, I don't care what system on the planet you're talking about, are basically predicated upon the same things. It's some form of full employment, however you get there. And we don't need that anymore. So what do you do now? And nobody's really come up with that. So I don't know. 888-876-5593. We'll talk about Coors with Elizabeth. That'll be more fun. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in, just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western skies. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see those mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's George Maharis, yeah. As far as all the stuff that he did that charted, this one only for 2 weeks, that was, I think, the best of the bunch. Don't Fence Me In got to number 93 in 1963 on Epic. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and that takes us to Elizabeth in Rock Falls. What's happening tonight, Elizabeth?
Hello, Raleigh. Hey, Herb. People talking about beer.
Yeah.
And I remembered our trip to Colorado. I think it was probably 1972. And the thing was, you couldn't buy beer and take it out of the state. I don't know what that rule was, but it was a law that you could not take Coors beer out of the state.
Mm.
So we went to the brewery in Golden, Colorado, went through the brewery.
Right.
I think we bought a couple cases there, and then we stopped at other stores and bought a few more cases and a few more. And we had a station wagon, and so we lined up all these cases in the back, probably 20 altogether, put blankets over them, and we smuggled them out of Colorado.
Sure.
I never knew what would happen if we got caught.
Sure. Well, you know, it's and of course, Coors became so in demand, I think largely because it wasn't available, that you would have all these stories about, oh, a case of Coors, you know, smuggled into this, smuggled into that. So you certainly weren't alone in that.
Well, when we got home with it all, my husband gave it to a lot of his friends and family. It wasn't all for us.
Sure. Oh, sure.
But it was just such good beer. And
yeah.
I saw a six pack of it on the store yesterday, and I almost bought it just to bring back memories of Coors.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same. Now, of course, the Coors family don't own it anymore. I don't drink beer. I've never had it. But I did have, when I lived in Colorado, a friend, Joe Coors Jr., who was he was the black sheep of the family. It's a long story as to why. But anyway, I remember one day he invited me over to their house for lunch, which a butler served, and all this stuff. And halfway through lunch, he apologized. He said, "I'm so sorry. I should have gotten you Coca-Cola." And because I wasn't drinking the beer, I said, "Well, you're right, but that's all right." So it was another lifestyle entirely, but they all did well. And what was interesting about that family is how well they treated their workers. Because there were several attempts at unionization, and they always failed miserably because no union was going to give them what the Coors family gave them. I mean, the benefits were unbelievably good there. So, yeah, those were happy workers and a very interesting family, to say the least.
Was it made from spring water?
Well, it was made from whatever that stuff in Golden, you know, the mountain stream or whatever, you know,
mountain.
I mean, pure
yeah.
Water. Yeah, the water was what they heralded. And originally it wasn't only law, but there were other technical reasons why they could not have this stuff last across the country. You know, I don't know enough about beverage packaging to know, but I know that was an issue. And they had many other divisions as well, since they made the bottles and everything else. And Joe ran the ceramics division, and they made things like putters and stuff like that. And he knew I liked driving the interstates. And so he made me a little Coors thing of every state in America as pins. And I still have them somewhere, the ones I haven't lost. But yeah, he was always fascinated with that. And he said, "Well, the Coors family would like to stake you in driving the rest of the interstate system." I said, no, I completed it a while ago. What they built since then, I don't need to drive. But yeah, I couldn't imagine, you know, being paid to drive interstates by them. But they were an interesting lot. And like I say, just a terrific employer. I don't know anymore because it's not owned by them. Yeah.
And I wondered, too, did anybody ever come up with how to get rid of earworm?
You know, there were suggestions. There absolutely were suggestions, including listening to music the exact opposite of what the earworm was for prolonged periods of time. And that came directly from a musician. But I would say you still don't have the same song going through your mind, do you?
Off and on, yes.
Really?
Blurts out every once in a while.
And I forget what this was, something ancient.
Right? "I don't want to set the world on fire."
Yeah.
Think so. Don't play it.
Yeah, no, I understand. I do understand. But, you know, I mean, all the psychic people would say, "Oh, it's something in the lyrics. It's a message from beyond. I don't know." I can't imagine what. But, so you still have it going on, huh?
Yep, off and on. Not as much as it was.
Good. Where did you encounter this song to have it going through your mind?
Well, I never listened to much of your kind of music, to be truthful.
Well, this is not a shock.
So I've been trying to acclimate myself to that kind of music, and so I've been listening to some of the older songs, R&Bs, and... Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful song to listen to. I really liked it. But then after it stopped playing, I'm still singing it.
Oh, geez. I've lost all ambition for worldly acclaim. Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. I'd say try to find something that's the opposite of the ink spots.
What would that be?
I don't know. I'm starting to think Taylor Swift. No, I don't know. Absolutely don't know. But and I don't know if it'll work. But whatever the opposite of the ink spots might be.
And we tried to weigh Chubbs the other day.
Really, yes.
But my grandson picked him up and he jumped right out of his arms. So.
Well, couldn't he go get him?
He didn't want to stay in his arm.
I'm sure he didn't. He was going to squirm, but the Chubbs is only in his 30-pound age genre, right? He's not too much more than 30, 35 pounds, is he?
No, he was 59.
A 60-pound dog. Yeah, that would be a problem. Well, if all else fails, take him like to the post office, put him on a scale, or the airport. No, I mean they probably won't let you, but you know, somewhere where they got a big scale.
I can't think of a place to do it except the vet's office, and he's not due there.
Yeah. You can call and say, "Can I just come in for a weigh-in?"
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, let me know what they say.
All right. He got loose the other day, ran all over the backyard.
Oh, no.
And came then right, made a beeline right back into the house.
Sure, because he knows where the food is. Even if you withhold it, he knows where it eventually will be coming from. All right, Elizabeth, keep me posted.
We're into watermelon now.
Oh, great. All right, good deal. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Let's find out what's going on in the world at large at WGN Radio News. WGN Radio. I'm Robbie James. And yes, more whispers on Dory. Forgot to play the dip. Nick Caldwell wrote it. What a fine song. So, yeah. Now, I think we might have concluded the whispers. It's hard to say. I think I promised to play something for the final bumper, but I have completely forgotten what it is. So, Carol will remind me, and hopefully I'll get to it tomorrow. All right, so 888-876-5593. John is in Waukegan. What's going on, John?
Oh, yes, I was just wondering when were a lot of people would be feeling about the hidden job in America that's hiding in plain sight.
Well, let's talk about them. Give me some examples.
By the way,
what the hell is going on with your phone? Do you use it as like a fax machine as well? It's trying to
I think I'm going to have to call the company and get another one because it's been.
Hello? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's been, and that's it. Okay. Well, apparently the battery was dying was what it was telling us. Yes, get another one, John, another one. Right about now would be a good time to get another one. All right. So James on the south side with his 5,832 stories. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you doing?
Well, better than Elizabeth Holmes.
Yes. Unfortunately, I mean, So somebody who had such a great idea, thought of an ideas about what was she wanted to do, but I guess that there's a lot of truth to that phrase, the road to perdition is paved with good intent.
Yeah, well, yeah, at some point she had to know that this wasn't working out, and her plan at what to do about it wasn't a wise one, to say the least. But from what I understand, there's many people upset at her digs that she's hardly suffering.
Yeah, she got one of those club feds.
Yep, yep. Although yeah. she will be in a bunk in a room with three other women. I guess it's two bunk beds as far as that goes. But no fences and no real restrictions, and she can have the kids by. She can even breastfeed and do all that kind of stuff. So now whether she stays in Bryan, who knows? Whether she winds up being released early, who knows? But she didn't get her wish, which was to stay out of jail because of her 3-month-old daughter and 2-year-old son.
Yeah, because somebody has to pay for a whole lot of money disappearing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Yes, I think there was a famous line that went something like this. I get mean when you mess with my green.
Well, yeah, that would do it. And also, you know, in terms of not only the investors who were speculators and all that, but people who invested who, like we were talking before, didn't have much money to lose. Yeah, those are the people that you always feel just terrible for in those situations.
Yeah, and like earlier about how like all this, how money is getting, okay, I am, okay, yeah, real estate is getting high, and apparently people are so into trying to find houses to put on the market. I mean, they call, they look, I guess they got info and say, oh, this person's been here X number of years. Let's call him up, see if he's interested in making a cash sale.
Oh, yeah, no, there absolutely. There's a lot of speculation. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are, because this has just become a quasi-medical emergency. I'll be back in moments on WGN Radio, I hope.
But I'll always be. você disser que eu desafino amor, saiba que isto em mim provoca imensa dor. Só privilegiados têm ouvido igual ao seu. Eu possuo apenas o que Deus me deu. Se você insiste em classificar meu comportamento diante musical.
Yeah, that one's Antonio Carlos Jobim and Joao Gilberto, and I told John he could play anything he wanted. All right, WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and we will get through the next 12 minutes, one way or another. All right, so back to James in on the South Side. Sorry about that, James. It was an absolute emergency.
Understood. Okay. Yeah. Understood.
Yeah.
I was going to say about, I even had like a couple calls, okay, I should say yesterday now, but I've been getting them from like, I'm certain my neighbors have who have been a long time, well, basically guys all say, oh, are you interested in selling?
Oh, yeah, I know, the predators are out there. But what's interesting now, as interest rates go up on home loans, some of these people have found out that they have overspent for what they can quickly get for properties. And so it's going to be very interesting to see where interest rates go and whether there's a lot of speculators who wind up with a few more homes on their hands than they thought they'd have.
Oh, yeah, that does make me actually think about that and say, hey, I'm glad I'm not real estate speculating. I remember in the days when they tried to say, oh, you can learn how to flip home.
Yeah, exactly. I suspect what some of these people will try to do if they're really caught behind the eight ball is turn them into rental properties. And you are seeing entire new subdivisions that were going to be homes for sale that now are homes for rent. And the only only problem there is who can pay the rent.
Oh, yeah. You'll have basically people almost singing the song from that title song from Rent.
Oh,
we're going to pay.
Yeah, well.
We're going to pay.
Yeah.
Years rent. Yep.
Now,
in
your wide plethora of stories, we seem to have more than a handful of crocodile attacks.
I'm like thinking, I'm almost wondering, apparently in a few of these are like farmers who thought, okay, I'm raising them for meat, for goods, they're going to be turned into, and unfortunately, this is a case
exactly. I understand how sadly the two-year-old could fall into the crocodile pit and that's the end of the two-year-old, but we're having story after story of the farmers falling into the pit. You'd think that they know where their crocodile pit is located, but apparently not. Then, of course, we have the Komodo dragon, which is the largest living lizard, swallowing a live pig whole. So that's quite the act as well.
Yeah, I look at it this way. You would never find me within a zip code of a Komodo dragon. They can move very fast. And, just as I think it was Sharon Stone's ex-husband. I don't think he will ever, as long as he lives, that experience.
Well, there you are. All right. Well, wonderful stories as always, and I hope to talk to you soon, maybe tomorrow night. Thanks, James.
Okay,
appreciate
you. Take care.
You too.
I hope everything goes fine.
Thank
okay.
you. Appreciate
God
that.
Bless.
All right. 888-876-5593. We got a first time caller. All right. That is Karen, and she's on the highways and byways of Pennsylvania. Thanks for calling WGN Radio, Karen.
Hi.
Yeah.
I've been listening to the problem with the earworms. You've been talking about it for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
And some years ago when I was a youngster, somebody asked a preacher, how do you get that out of your head? And his answer was that that's the devil trying to get you to be interested in listening to what he has to say instead of what you should be hearing. And he said, if you sing a song, something about Jesus' blood, it doesn't matter which one, it'll go away.
Really?
For me, it works.
Oh, wow. Well, can I try Carmen, like some of that? Or radically saved? Yeah.
I have no idea. I just know he said, sing something like Nothing But the Blood of Jesus.
All right.
There's a fountain filled with blood, and he said it'll work for you. And for me, it does.
Well, there you have
it. The one I get in my head the most is that kid's jingle that was John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Oh, God.
You ever heard that?
Yeah, I don't want to hear it again.
That used to get in my head all the time.
Yeah, but then the Lord set you free.
That's right.
All right. Well, praise Jesus
and hallelujah. I don't have too much trouble with it. Most of the time now, if I start repeating a song, I'll just pick something out of the hymnal and sing it.
All right, good deal. Out, devil, out. Yes.
Yes.
All right, good deal. Karen, call me again. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. All right, so there you go. See, I said maybe it's something from beyond. I hadn't really thought about it being the devil, but all right. All right, well, you show him. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And Sherry is in Naperville. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
I no longer know, but thanks for asking.
Well, I was guessing. I'm just going to let you know I sent up a prayer for John just in case, and David said she probably XYZ, and I said, no way would she say medical emergency for that. And then when I called John, he says, yep, you're right. And
so no,
I told David, oh, you're right again. But I'm not gonna say it. But I called him because I know there's a couple minutes left. But I've had this guilt complex. And I told him I was raised Catholic, and I get this guilt complex type thing. He said he was, too, and he never got a guilt complex. But nonetheless.
Right, it didn't work on me either.
It worked on me big time. At any rate. I found one thing of Scotty's that I thought would be past January, and then, and I said I would look, and then I listened to your little, dates at double the speed, which is cool,
because mm-hmm.
you can recognize voices.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any area you want me to concentrate in? Because I'm clueless, because I'm assuming Carol has notes as to when everybody called and who called about what. But is there any area you want me to concentrate?
Oh, no, not at all. And don't go to any great trouble. If you just come across it, just let me know what it is. That's great. I eventually will do that as well. But so, yeah, I don't want anybody to go to any trouble. But if you're listening anyway and you actually notice something, tell me what the date of the show was and what time.
Okay. And also, I had, just so you know, I asked my cousin who, let's see, this was Memorial Day, what was before that? Anyway, he said that he used the AI, OpenAI, ChatGPT, because where he worked, and he had to do a new spreadsheet thing, and, you know, you write formulas in the cells in Excel and such and such, and I guess there's some other program. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was mostly mainframe Go. But anyway, and research. Anyway, and I asked him this weekend, I said, is there any way that you can make ChatGPT listen to something so you don't have to listen to it yourself and say, is there any recognition, voice recognition, if you say, tell me anytime this name is mentioned or this, you know, is mentioned? And he said, no, it's all visual on the internet so far. I said, okay.
Well, they're
hoping to cheat.
Yeah, no. But do not spend a lot of time on this. But if you just notice something in passing, let me know.
No, I'm just trying to find.
Yeah,
I'm just you know, if I have time and I'm doing something else and I'm, you know.
Then that's fine. That's fine. But otherwise, okay, you'll make me feel guilty. You don't want that.
But I'm going to concentrate on Mondays. But how long had you listened? When did you first start?
Oh, I don't know. Probably toward the beginning of we were doing the show on WGN.
I don't know, until when the tornado came, like 2 years
well,
ago, we started listening here.
Probably, I would say probably somewhere in late 2020 or early 2021.
Okay, I won't go back that far.
All right. Well, there you are, somewhere in there. All right, good deal. Thank you.
Late 2020. Oh, that's only 3 years.
Yeah,
okay,
it's not that long ago. Not that long ago. And and I'll be doing it too. I promise. Just not tonight. All right.
No, don't do it.
Yeah.
There should be notes from Carol.
Yes, and there will be. There absolutely will be. All right, good deal. Show's over. Thanks for calling.
I love you.
Thanks.
Love you both.
Appreciate it.
Thank
you too.
You. And tonight was very interesting. I wanted to comment on things, but I'm behind on other things.
Well, you can call tomorrow night. We'll be here. Thanks. All right.
Alrighty, thanks.
So
bye-bye.
On that note, that pretty much is a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and keeping me in line. We thank John for screening your calls. Most of all, I thank you for calling. It makes my job so much easier. So do it again tomorrow night. I'm Rodley James. It's WGN Radio.